Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well, and I'm very excited about lunch down there with Bob Littell and his crew in a little while. That's going to be
a blast. That's right. Mentoring young entrepreneurs.
And so we sent our bios in, and the kids are going to sit down and introduce us to each other. We'll probably make some great connections, and you know, I could be forced to eat a steak for the cause.
I know. I've always wanted to go to that Shula's Steakhouse. So.
Yeah. You see it in the flight magazines, right? It's always in the top 10. I don't know if they write a check for that or if it's really that good of food or maybe a little bit of both.
Combination.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a great segment.
Yes.
We have one guest this morning and one guest only, so we're going to get to focus on him and his work. And so this is going to be a lot of fun. We have the author, David Dooley, with ICANN Media, LLC, and he's got a book out entitled I Can Fix America. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, it's great to be here with you guys.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Can you really fix America, or are you suggesting Lee can fix America?
Because my book says I can. Yeah. The thing you wrote.
See, the beauty is all the books say I can. So who's ever reading it. It's certainly not the David Dooley can fix America. It's who's ever reading it. And it was about, you know, how do we get and address the problems here that we have in America, and how do we take ownership of it? And that was the genesis of the book.
So what compelled you to write the book? Did you have an event or series of events that you said, man, we got to do something about this. We got to talk more about this.
That's a great question. I actually grew up in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. So, you know, it's an infamous place made out to a great movie in 1988 called Roger and Me. Some people gave Michael Moore his first entrance on the stage. And so, you know, growing up in Flint, watching that movie, that wasn't the whole story. And a lot of the problems in Flint, a lot of problems in Michigan came to, you know, taking ownership of the issues instead of putting them off. And eventually putting things off led to a disaster. And I felt like I was watching a gigantic Flint, Michigan happen now that I've moved out and throughout the nation. So I decided to do something about it.
Now, what part of your background makes you kind of qualified to help America in this way?
I'm an entrepreneur. And so I've, for better or for worse, since, 1999, when I was 23 years old, decided to go out on my own. And I learned that whenever I decided to take ownership of anything, whether it be my career or the issues in my life, results happen, right? And I thought, how couldn't that apply to other issues that we deal with government, with inefficiencies in government, with services not being brought to market in an efficient manner? And so I thought, yeah, you know, let's figure out ways in which people can participate individually to solve the problems that we always complain about, from stabilized housing to building up education. There are simple things you and I can do to help solve those problems.
But you think that the genesis of this is that kind of entrepreneurial mentality that you had that kind of catapulted you to success?
Yeah, without question. I didn't sit around and wait. I knew early on that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. People ask me, well, isn't being an entrepreneur risky? And I said, sure, but let me tell you what I think is a little bit more risky, working for a big company for 30 years and watching it go out of business and taking your pension with you.
Completely out of your control. I got to tell you, Lee, in doing the exhaustive research that I always do the night before this show, I'm reading the first line in the paperwork that we got. It says, there's only one solution that is going to fix America, and that solution is you. And the moment I read that, I said, I want to have a radio show called I Can Fix America. I want to rip this guy off like tomorrow, right? And start a radio show. But my question to you is, this suggests to me, and I want to see what your take, is there a dearth of personal accountability in this country, in our culture? And if so, what exactly can and should we be doing about it?
Without question. There is a deficit of people taking ownership of our lots and lives. And you hear this word fair a lot, especially these days, right? And I've never met fair. I don't know what that is. I wish someone could tell me what that is. And so we're all dealt different hands, right? And the opportunity is not to dwell on what the cards are, but make the cards work the best we can. And there's such a lacking of that and such a culture of victimization and excuses that I think it just leads to us being stagnant. And to your point, that lack of accountability, that lack of personal responsibility pushes the decision-making, pushes the problems down the road, and they just get bigger. It's just math. And someone said, why in the world, you know, you've been a successful entrepreneur, why did you write this book? And it, and I just had to get, it was therapy, really. I had to get it off my chest because I know the consequences are real. I've seen them physically growing up in Flint, Michigan, when we don't address the real issues.
Right. But what do you say to the people that are like, well, I'm not an entrepreneur and I'm not smart enough to have my own business. And I don't have my act together. You know, I got a bunch of kids and I'm not equipped to take those kind of risks and do those things. I mean, there's a portion of the society that, you know, some people in government especially feel that we have to take care of some portion of society, that they aren't going to be entrepreneurs. Like, so how do you marry that big portion of America with the America that needs to, you know, get off their butt and take a risk and create something?
So I'm always reminded of the quote I think Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
That's great.
And so
it's so true.
And I also take a look at, I try to be a student of history and try to understand the human condition. And I had a very interesting conversation with a very influential person that said, are we in the time, have you and I lived in a time where 100 years ago, we could go back in time and say, this is what we expect the American experience to be, where government's going to pay for certain essentials in life. And people would be like, that would never work.
Are
you crazy?
Right.
And then if we had a time machine and we could go in the future 100 years and we said, this is the culture that we built and these are the things that we thought the role government played in our lives and our community, and we thought that was sustainable. And they would be like, are you crazy? So, you know. Are we truly in this period of transition that the sins of the past are coming to roost? And we talk about how the way it used to be and in giving actually credibility to people, oh, I'm just not a risk taker. Well, every day you wake up, you're a risk taker. I mean, everything is risky. And so not giving anyone any ammo to make excuses for their lot in life is kind of, I hope, one of my purposes in life. Because I've seen the craziest things happen when people decide to do something. They just have to make it happen.
Even Lee and I can make a profit. I mean, I think that's pretty impressive.
Yes. There you go.
That just shows you anyone can do it.
Right. It really can be done, guys. So you sit down, you decide to convey your message in the form of a book.
That's right.
Speak to that process a little bit. If you would have that come together, you had it illustrated, you decided what to write and what to say. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I had an opportunity, I had a company, and I was able to put a deal together in which I licensed some of the intellectual properties to a big company, and I consulted with them for years, and that lasted through 2010. And afterwards, I decided to kind of step back and take a little vacation. While I was on vacation, I wanted to kind of figure out what's going on in the world. I was kind of self-absorbed earlier and kind of had my head down and trying to make things with the company work. And so I stepped back and actually went to a beach and I took reading material from the far right and the far left and the moderate, which I learned real quick is not beach reading material.
Okay, so let's get this straight. We're rich, bored, and we're reading about politics. This is the frame of mind we're in, right?
Rich is different thing as different people. So as I'm reading everyone's ideas on how to quote unquote fix America, I feel like, you know what, I've been an entrepreneur and I've invented products and I feel like I'm a pretty industrious guy and I can't get my head around what to do. How do I participate in this? We got to change the Constitution. Okay, well, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know, though, if I can get my head around what I can do to help with that.
Right.
And so I did some research and I realized, you know, there's not really a book out there that distills some of the battles that we're dealing with, from our housing crisis to our healthcare crisis to our education crisis, that allows me to participate, that is a blueprint for me to participate.
Like an action plan.
An action plan that that is attainable, that right. doesn't mean you don't need to be...
Right, it's not some big theoretical thing. Right. These are actual real things that anybody could do, really.
And so I wanted to then create, and I thought, well, how can I tackle this huge issue in a very approachable manner?
Right.
And so I wanted to create the country's, America's most important coffee table book. And I wanted to distill the big problems down to simple, actionable items. So if you go to the book's available on Amazon.com, I Can Fix America. And when people ask, how did you come up with the name? And I was like, well, I wanted to make sure that I could have a website named after the book, right? And I thought, there's no way in the world the domain name I Can Fix America is available. In all the history of politics, in all the history of internet, you'd think a politician would have bought I Can Fix America. Sure. Mitt Romney or Herman Cain or New Garrett. Yeah, I Can Fix America would be a good domain name. No, I bought it for like $7 on GoDaddy.
That's great. You
know, and I was like, wow, that's telling.
Really, what does that tell you? I guess that's not a priority for many people.
Right. It's like, wow, that's interesting.
Wow.
And so I bought the domain name ICanFixAmerica.com and titled the book that. And so I took like stabilized housing. I see you flipping through the book, and I live in a part of town that has quite a few foreclosures, and the yards are high, and as they go into disrepair, the values plummet. And guess what happens? It locks me into my house. Now I can't sell. And now the tax base drops. Now there's no money for the schools. It creates this death spiral. And I'm like, well, everyone's complaining, oh, the house down the street, the bank doesn't take care of it. Well, go mow the yard.
It's not my house. Who's mowing my yard?
Right. It's an hour. Right.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't really want to do it. Well, then you can't complain. Right?
That's great.
It helps stabilize housing values by the abandoned and the foreclosed homes in your neighborhood. Make them look all right. Chances are we'll sell for a little bit more. The banks aren't necessarily doing a great job with that. So go out and make something happen.
That's a fantastic idea. It's very practical, very
right.
actionable. We could all bring a cooler of beer and three or four of us
right.
can mow the yard if we want.
Exactly. And so the title, I Can Fix, and every idea starts with I Can.
Nice.
It's because it has to be a conscious decision. You have to step back and say, I'm willing to participate in the solution instead of complain about it the whole time.
Now, you make a very specific recommendation that everyone, and you feel like all of our listeners should buy two copies of the book, and I really get the sense it's not because you're trying to make double the money. You've got
no.
another purpose behind that.
I've got a plan.
Yeah.
My goal is that the majority of people who receive my book don't pay for it. The first time. It's a
uh-huh.
gift.
Right.
I want to start a pay it forward campaign because this is not a political book. These solutions are common sense. I'm an equal opportunity offender in it, right? I take on the right, the left. I talk about everything, but I try to distill it down to measurable common sense ways we can solve these problems. I don't really care who's in office, frankly, because I don't believe an elected office can solve these problems. And so we are going to have to do it. And the only way we can do it is that more people have these simple ideas in front of them. And that's why I recommend everyone buy two. One for them to have in their family and one to give to a loved one or a friend. And then challenge that person. Say, if you like it, great, consider paying it forward. If not, no worries, accept as my gift and put in the fire, whatever. But inside of it is pretty basic truths of what it means to live in a community, what it means to be a good neighbor and a good steward of the blessings we have here.
Now, you've been going around promoting this book. I guess it came out January 1st. I'm sure there's a story behind that. But when you've been going out there and talking to people and having people give you feedback after reading the book, have you learned more than 52? Is there a part two of this? Is there going to be another?
Yeah. That's a great question. Funny you ask it because I was having this conversation last night. Could I go on forever almost with 52 new ideas? And I think there certainly is an opportunity to that. But we have a lot of work to do before we go through these first 52.
And so you can just get people to act on these.
Yeah.
So are you thinking about maybe crowdsourcing additional ideas, though, or is that already happening? People are going, well, this is great. Here's two more ideas.
Yeah, it's already happening. And at ICanFixAmerica.com, you can read about different ideas. And we also have a Facebook page where people share ideas at the group I Can Fix America. Which also wasn't taken on Facebook for some reason. So
that's amazing.
I mean, that's how incredible. In the world?
That's terrible, really. It's good for you. It's good for you, but it really is terrible.
It makes, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't.
But part of the book, some of the things that you say that an individual can do to fix America aren't, like you said, monumental things of changing the Constitution. It's things as lose weight. Or don't spread rumors.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not that hard.
It's the simple stuff, right? Everyone, especially now, we talk about healthcare. We have this obesity epidemic in America. We have a healthcare crisis because we have a sick care system. We take care of our ailments. But rarely in the media do we talk about what causes these problems. Why do we have a rampant uptick in diabetes and other cancers?
Because we like to eat.
Because we eat crap.
Right.
Right? And there's nothing more intimate than what we eat and put in our bodies, right? Period. And I don't care who you are. People talk about food deserts. I grew up in one of the poorest places in the country. I live now in a poor area of Atlanta for the most part. And it's about choices. There are, wherever you go, there are choices, and better choices and worse choices. The problem is people keep making bad choices. And I want to live in a world that I wish I could live in a world that bad choices didn't have consequences, but they do one way or the other. If it's either through failing health, it's through an enormous medical bill, it's through something happening with your health that creates financial despair in your family. But it doesn't, no one ever talks about the 14 cheeseburgers you ate every month.
Right.
Right. And, or the fact that you've never exercised. That's just part of the human experience. And we have put that off, and we have somehow thought we could violate the laws of nature and get away with it. And well, it just doesn't happen that way.
I think American, and it's kind of creeping into other cultures as well, is you don't pay the price right away.
That's right.
You know, and so it just kind of sneaks up on you.
That's right.
You know, like having a double cheeseburger today. You know, you'll go about your day and nothing bad will happen. But you do that every day, you know, you are going to pay a price, but you're not going to see the pain. Like smoking, I think you mentioned smoking in your book as
well.
That's right. You know, smoking a cigarette, you're not dropping dead 3 minutes later after doing that. And we just kind of become immune to it because we think there is no consequence. And it's these little, we're dying of a, what was it? I think there's a proverb, like you're dying of a million paper cuts or
something.
That's
right, yeah.
And that's what's happening to us. And it goes beyond healthcare. It goes into our, just like you said, the system of government. We're not taking care of our community because we become, you know, we're thinking about ourselves and we're not thinking about our community. We're busy taking care of ourselves. So,
And we love instant gratification. Because hard work sucks,
right.
You know, and the discipline sucks. I part of what you talked about, kind of a death by a thousand cuts, is unfortunately, and I have family members that have experienced heart attacks and don't change their diet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
because,
you know, I do. We do a wellness show in here. 90% of people after having some major heart thing, like a stent or a open heart surgery, 90% of them go back to the previous behaviors within 1 year.
Wow.
Not 10%, not 50%, 90%. And this is, you've had your chest cut open.
Yeah.
That wasn't, didn't scare you enough.
And so, in all this, so how long have we been able to pull that trick off? What, 30 years?
Because of technology.
Right,
they're
right,
like, oh,
exactly.
They'll fix me.
Right, so the laws of nature for the past million would
right.
say you're out.
Right, exactly.
Right, and so now we have this kind of Band-Aid fix that says, oh, you can get away with it. But there's consequences again, because that surgery costs $75,000.
Right.
And so where are the true consequences? Is the role of government to bail you out? right? You know, people talk about bailouts. It's right. to bail you out of those bad choices.
Poor choices, right.
And if there's a financial model that works, that someone on the planet, I mean, I'm willing, I own a restaurant in Atlanta, and you can eat a meal for
healthy,
a month.
Healthy food.
Right, yeah, we have healthy food options, right? I will give any listener a pass to eat a free meal a day at the restaurant if someone can show me a financial model on how that works. You know, and that has been my frustration as a business person when I just look at the financial model of the country.
Right.
I can't get it to work.
Right. Well, that I was talking, my dad was here recently, and he's 87 years old, and he worked for the post office for 20 years. He's been retired for 27 years. So they're still paying him for more years
good
than he worked,
dad.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's like, I like this system.
Maybe
this is perfect, right? So he's making, you know, as much money now as he did 20 years ago, and he hasn't worked in 27 years.
And so let me ask you this. Is that real? Or is that a failed experiment?
No, that's a failed experiment. Absolutely.
And so we talk about entitlements. I'm due a pension, and I would love to live in a world that's true.
Right.
But show me the math that this is real.
It doesn't work.
So these things that we thought are the law of the land, the way it always was simply an experiment 40 or 50 years ago.
Right.
Today.
But the problem with those kind of experiments, when you give people free stuff, it's hard to take it back.
Well, that question. Yeah.
So that's to me, that's the key learning is don't give people free stuff, because once you do, it's going to be very difficult to kind of go backwards and put that genie in the bottle again.
Right. I read a simple quote, and I'll probably butcher it last night. It said something along the lines, if something is unsustainable, it will stop. I mean, and so everyone talks about the unsustainability of what we're doing and how we're living. And this isn't a religious thing. It's just common sense. And eventually, it stops.
By definition, that's what unsustainability is,
right? So why don't we just call it like it is and say, you know what, you're right, it's not working. These don't have long-term characteristics of success. Let's change behavior and work towards it.
Because politicians don't have the same objectives. Their objective is to get reelected, so they say what they have to do to get enough people to reelect them.
That's right, and people believe elections change things.
Right.
Yeah,
but again,
just get the right guy in office.
Just
then
the right.
Gonna,
if it's my guy, I can spend. Right. I'm going to donate 10 hours this month of campaigning, and that will be what I do. When this guy gets in office, he's going to take care of all my problems.
Right.
When the philosophy should be, I'm going to have to take 10 hours this week to fix the things in my life and not worry about elections.
Right.
That's right.
And so that's where the different mindset. I think, you know. I love the world of success and growing up in abundance. I think that's awesome. And if we could find a model to keep that American dream alive, I'm all for it. I just haven't seen the model. And I think those excesses and kind of the culture of no consequences to bad decisions are beginning to rear its head. And the purpose of this book is, to the point of cheeseburgers and the point of all these other things that I also love, by the way, I don't want to give the government or anyone any excuse to tell me what I can't and can't do in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and so I need to make the right decisions, because as much as we beat the table and say, I don't want politicians saying what children should eat at lunch, or I don't want politicians saying what we can eat or do and put in our body, fine. Then will you sign a waiver that says, I don't care what you eat, what you smoke, what you do, that opts you out of any support from the government in the future based on your bad health decisions?
I like that.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I want to live in that world, right?
Right.
So people talk and complain, but they're unwilling, for the most part, now some are, to opt out of the system that they rail against.
Right. Now, a lot of the book, as we've been discussing, is about personal accountability. Do you see a place where businesses can get involved and play a role in fixing America?
Absolutely. Being from Michigan, I'm a huge proponent of buy American when you can. And try to ask people to source American as business owners. How do we source American first? How do we try to hire American first? How do we look to build more economies of scale here in America? We did a great outsourcing of manufacturing and of a lot of our economic engine over the past 50 years. How do we begin pulling it back? And on the way over, driving here today, I was listening to the radio and someone was talking about this woman who had a son that couldn't drink pasteurized milk. And so she, through a bunch of people, I guess, went in on a cow at a community farm or something and had non-pasteurized milk, and he was doing great by it. And the story goes, you know, 4 or 5 weeks later, the feds show up, right? Because it's not.
Oh, what are you kidding? To help, right? To protect us, because it's dangerous.
Because, God forbid, you farm, right? I mean, again, in the point of time that we live in, a million years prior, everyone was farming.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it was. And so now all of a sudden, these most basic facts of life are illegal or not healthy or scary. Those are the things that freak me out.
Yeah.
And those are the things that I think businesses also freak out about, because business is hard, right? The restaurant business, I'm part owner of a restaurant called The Nook on Piedmont Park in Atlanta, and highly regulated industry, right? Oh, food. Yeah. And I'm of the believer, if we don't have good food, or if our food's bad or tastes bad or makes people sick, especially in social media,
you're not going to last long.
We're not going to last long. The market works perfectly, right? And so risk is part of life, and it's part of the human experience. And we try to mitigate risk to a point that becomes stifling. And to your point, that's where businesses freak out. But I think businesses have to just put their head down and just figure out ways to become more American focused in not only what they do as far as profits and as far as products and who they hire, but also how do they participate in the fixing of America. It's interesting. I had this idea on how could you certify companies to be, that I as a business owner are being more, I'm being American conscious in my business making decisions. I'm not being 100% profit conscious where I could source something cheaper. The interesting feedback has often been, you know, I have enough regulation and enough disclosure to deal with now.
I can't even begin certification.
Right? Yeah, you know, I can't even deal with it. But you know, that would be a neat thing to pull off. If it could ever be done. But there's no recovery without jobs, right?
It's simple math again.
And so we have to do things to support companies that take pride in building America back up, and it's just that simple.
Yeah, good stuff.
So let's make sure that our listeners know how to reach you personally and get their hands on this book.
Yeah, the book is sold at Amazon.com. I Can Fix America. Just type it. It's also BarnesandNoble.com. It's also on ICanFixAmerica.com, the website I have, and in local bookstores throughout the country. I know Barnes & Noble is beginning to have it, and it's in their system. So if your local store doesn't have it, go out and tell them to get it.
Well, I tell you what, I'm inspired and encouraged by this, and I am going to make a commitment. I'm going to get online, and I'm going to buy several copies because I want to be able to hand them out, and I'd like to have a couple here in the studio. This is really – I really commend you for the work you're doing. This is fantastic.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It takes you guys to help spread the good word, so I appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and David Dooley, our guest today, and this book is beautifully illustrated by Rosie Falcone, so you have to check it out. Go online right now, and it'll be in Barnes & Noble soon. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.